Hey guys, Cody Strait here, and thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Upward Spiral Podcast. And we got a good one here for you. In this episode, Davin and I discuss capital, but not in the traditional sense of money. We discuss capital with respect to social and political capital. We talk about what it is, how to use it, how to gain it, and also how to lose it. So thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the episode. Here we go. Let's do this thing here. So Davin, welcome to the Updraft. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Good, 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 good. So, you know, you sent me a picture just the other day. We were talking about this morning about your spine, and apparently you're all grown up now, huh?
Yeah. I think we counted 10 screws, 10 anchors that are in my back. Addition to the hardware. Yeah. I'm getting proportionately more metal in my body as the years go on, buddy.
Exactly. And so outside you're full Davin, inside you're full Hot Topic.
Yeah. But to your point, the coolest thing was, is I grew net 33 millimeters as a result of them spacing out my spine in order to put these things that are supposed to go between your vertebrae called discs that I haven't had for some time.
Right.
So yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, I didn't realize I was going to come out of this thing with more metal, but also taller.
See, there you go. And with that, like, more confidence just to go out and go into the world. So I love it. But speaking of confidence, what do you say we confidently get into the Updraft here? How's that sound to you?
Man, I am just chomping at the bit.
All right. So
pain meds and all. Let's do this.
Yeah.
we don't quite know what's going to happen, but let's do it anyway.
You know, that's the joy about your situation. Pop a couple of pills from your pain meds and let's just see how this thing goes. But I'm going to give you the option. Do you want me to kick the topic over to you first, or do you want to present to me first? You want to defer? You want to receive? What do you want?
You go ahead and pitch. You go first this time.
All right. Happy to do it. So here's what I've got for you. Okay. You and I, we not only do we work together, we're also friends. We talk about, life and business, but also personal life. And so what I want you to talk about and present to the audience is, in business and in personal life, basically the different types of capital that exist and the value of different types of capital. So whenever I say that, you know what I'm talking about there. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about capital. I'm talking about social capital. I'm talking about political capital, all those things that you and I get into. And so there's value to each of those things. So I want you to talk a little bit about basically the different types of capital that exist and the value of them, both in the context of professional life and personal life. And if you got any questions, hey, put it out there. Otherwise, I'm going to hit start on the timer, 20-minute countdown per the Updraft rules, and we're going to get at it. So any questions, any clarification that you require?
Nope.
All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Bring the wisdom.
You know, so I think I could spend 20 minutes talking about the benefits and the utilization of social capital. Mm-hmm. It's what comes top of mind when we start talking about capital relative to human interactions, both in the personal and professional capacity. It's simply stated, I believe social capital is your ability, the accumulation or depletion that is based on every single interaction that you have on a day-to-day basis. And again, being in a personal capacity, in a professional capacity, in a social capacity, every exchange, every interaction that we have with another human is you are either accumulating or depleting your social capital.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about presence, right? We did that podcast on presence a couple of weeks ago, right? And I
we
think
did.
Your executive, your command presence is so tightly correlated to your successful accumulation and utilization of social capital, right? Agreed?
Totally agree. Completely agree. Yes.
Because if you have a strong presence, if you know how to successfully interact with people in a room, be it in a one-on-one capacity or a one-to-many dynamic, you are going to accumulate that social capital rather quickly. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the problem is once you accumulate that social capital, what do you do with it? That's almost a whole nother topic in and of itself. But
right.
You know, some people are really good at accumulating it, but then you find yourself in a situation in an awkward exchange and, you know, something that happens in your personal life that makes its way to social media that takes your social capital from 1,000 to 0. And I can think of 100 different types of interactions that would be. But, you know, it's certainly a delicate balance for A, how you accumulate it, B, how do you expend it, and then C, how do you keep from going from a large stockpile down to zero?
Right. Yeah. So tell me this, is there, from your perspective, is there a difference between social capital and political capital?
You know, I don't know if I personally, I don't know if I really can delineate a whole bunch between the two of them.
Right.
I think they kind of get lumped in together. You know, I think of social capital in a very broad context. And again, every dynamic of your life is accumulation or depletion of social capital.
Right. And I agree with you. I don't know if I could see that there's a big delineation between social and political capital, but certainly there's a difference between those two and capital, you know, both in the context of personal relationships and in business, right?
Right.
So talk, if you would, about these items, these different types of capital in the context of professional relationships.
You know, I think of, you know, every time you go into an organization when you're mm-hmm. new, right? And I'm gonna make this very anecdotal for when I started at Access, Cody, because it's top of mind and it's fresh. And you were able to watch this thing unfold over the course of the last couple of years, correct?
Correct, yeah.
You know, I started as the chief operating officer for Access, you know, almost 2 years ago exactly. At the, mm-hmm. end, the end of August, it'll be 2 years ago. And, you know, I come into a brand new industry in a company that has a very kind of old school dynamic and a lot of very strong existing relationships mm-hmm. and what I call a lot of dead bodies that are lying around, right? Mm-hmm. People that are related to this person who owns this piece of software that runs this part of our, you know, it was a very complex dynamic, right? And there were a lot of strong undercurrents, you know, the culture wasn't the greatest, et cetera. So, you know,
to be clear, you talk about that's what it was when it started. And I think that you pretty much pressed the play button on that song, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Yeah.
And like, speaking of dead bodies, because that you pretty much left a trail, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you come into an organization and you see the changes that have to be made. But I've still got a boss. I've still got a guy that I report to. I don't have the ability to make wholesale changes. So, you know, there's several different people that I had to be able to accumulate social capital with or capital with. And first of all, it was my boss. B, it was my colleagues, my contemporaries. And C, it was the subordinates, right? The people that I'm now in charge of, they don't know me from Adam. I don't know them from Adam. So you have to be able, you start making these decisions, making these moves and these changes organizationally. And every one of those interactions, again, you have to begin to accumulate social capital in that context, right?
Right.
Some of it is easy. You know, you make changes to policy and you're able to get that as a win for the company. And then your peers are happy about it. Your subordinates are happy about it. The boss is happy about it. Because, you know, it takes a certain, there's different tiers of decisions that have to be made. And you have to be super intelligent about the decisions that you make in order to be able to accumulate a little bit. So you can tier up to that next level to make a bigger, broader organizational change. Expend that social capital or that political capital, even in that context too, Cody, and be able to, hopefully that decision is right and it's good and it's just, and then there's more accumulation. And you start to be able to make bigger, more impactful decisions that are all predicated on your ability to make those smaller decisions quickly, wisely, and successfully.
So I dig all that. Now, talk, if you would, about the value of social political capital in the context of business relationships, like relationships with other companies. You've worked a lot in that space. Mm-hmm. You've worked a lot to form partnerships. So talk, if you would, about the value of social political capital in that space. And then after that, at some point, I'd love it if, in keeping in the context of the professional world, if you would talk about how you would recommend our audience to be able to build up the social and political capital in the context of their own company and how to build that up with partners, customers, clients, anything whatsoever along those lines.
So much of that, what you're talking about in terms of a new partnership, you know, let's talk about
sure.
walking into a boardroom, you're in the beginning stages of negotiation for a partnership with company B, right? Mm-hmm. Your first chance to accumulate social political capital is that first snap judgment. How are you dressed? How do you carry yourself? What is your appearance? What do you say? You know, again, that's, what is it? I think 7 seconds is about the time that, that people form their first interaction. And that is your one and only time to get it right the first time.
Right.
And so, you know, my advice for people that are listening to this is put intention into how you dress, put intention into your words, into how you carry yourself, into how you interact with that potential partner, right? So much of that it's huge.
Right.
And your subsequent success after that is so widely based on your ability to gain rapport in the first interaction that you have, right? And so, you know, again, you start to gain nuggets of that social political capital with that potential partner by how do you treat them? But, and there's a duality to that too, Cody, because you want to hold the line for your organization, but you don't want to come across as combative.
Right. And we've seen this before because that's a feel thing that you get from watching mentors, watching people that are good at it, because we've seen people that they're such nice people and they give to the degree where, you know, does that garner respect? Does that grow social political capital in those situations?
No, it doesn't. You know, and I think anecdotally, we can take it back to Access. And, you know, we had a former colleague that was salt of the earth. You wouldn't find a nicer human in the world, but, you know, he really struggled to be able to make successful business agreements for the organization because he was too nice. And everything was familial, and it was, you know, we're gonna create success for both of us. And you know, you kind of start to throw those cliche words out there, but what all of that equaled up to was bad business deals for Access over and over and over again. And the problem is when you play that nice guy, and again, you can refer back to Adam Grant's Givers, Takers, and Matchers, you know, I think is a really good book that was to base this off of.
Right.
You know, he was such a giver that he was unable to see that, you get your win, you push it across the goal line, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just a bad deal for our organization. And that's where you need to have, you need to be open and friendly and a little bit compromising, but you also have to hold a hard line, and you also have to have your organization's best interest in mind, because again, there's subsequent buckets of this social capital and political capital we're talking about, right? You're building it with this partner, and this partner may love you, but you're destroying your social capital with your boss and your peers because you've built a bad business relationship.
Right. Well, we'll take it back over to the social political capital side of things relative to a business relationship, in that respect, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't push back ever, is that behavior that will cause your contemporary across the table from you to have respect for you or not? So define, if you would, or don't confuse niceness for respect, right? So
right.
Talk a little bit about that in the context of social political capital.
Well, I think what you're talking about, if you basically are a doormat, let's call it what it is,
right?
You may get a whole lot of you know, false positives out of these guys. You may get a whole bunch of counterfeit yeses and believe that they have a tremendous amount of respect for you. Mm-hmm. But behind closed doors, make no mistake, they're you are the butt of their jokes inside of that organization, because they know that they can just skull drag you across the floor, and you're going to come back asking for more. So,
right.
You know, that's where having a good relationship and having a respectful relationship are two different things. You know, when I'm interacting with a partner, I respect that counterpart of mine that pushes back appropriately, that he's not an asshole about it,
right?
But he's willing to fight for his organization, and he's only willing to make a deal if it's beneficial for his organization. That's the kind of counterpart that I respect, and that's the kind of person that I want to work for, because I'm the same way. And if I view them as weak, then that just erodes their social and political capital with me, and I'm just going to push for more and more and more. And then you're eroding their social capital, but then they're also losing their social political capital within their organization as well, because again, they're making a deal that's bad for the organization.
Right. Well, and so you know, do you like doormats?
I mean, when I got to scrape the mud off my boots.
Me too. I think that they serve an absolute purpose. I like, if I need to wipe my feet off, then they're great. Otherwise, I don't really have a whole lot of respect for them, right? Oh. So this gets back into it. Like, I think that an interesting term that you put in here is respect, right? So can you actually, do you, it, it, if you're looking at business relationships and somebody has low social capital versus high social capital, would you say that that is completely analogous with respect?
High social capital analogous with respect. Just to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly.
Correct.
I would say so. And again, you can take that over to this to the personal side as well. You know, like the mm-hmm. people that you respect and the people that when you walk into a room and you see that person and you want to hear what they have to say, mm-hmm. respect, reverence, you can use whatever word that you want to use for it. That person is generally going to have a high amount of social and or political capital accumulated. Right.
Right.
I don't think you can have one without the other. You can't be somebody that is not respected mm-hmm. and be able to gain a high amount of social political capital because your words are meaningless. Your actions are baseless. And
right.
that's the way that they're going to view you.
Right. So there's an absolute correlation
100%
between
yeah.
social political capital and respect, both on the professional side and on the personal side.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think you have to build respect in order to be able to accumulate capital. I think it's based in respect.
Right. Right. Respect, trust.
Follow through.
That's what builds up the social political capital side of things. So how is it that you build up social political capital? Any tips for the audience? And then I wanted you after that talk about this in the context of the personal relationships as well.
So how do you build it in a professional capacity?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's several different parts of it. And first of all, you're a man of your word. Mm-hmm. You're a man of integrity. And mm-hmm. you follow through with the things that you say you're going to do. But you also hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. I think accountability is a huge part of building that base level of respect, which is going to allow you to accumulate social capital. Because if you say, hey, we are going to increase pricing by 25% by the end of Q3. Here's the benefits that we're going to see to the bottom line.
Right.
You carry through on that. Big project. And again, this is anecdotal because this is stuff that we did at our organization. Mm-hmm. Big project, overhauled pricing by 25%. Mm-hmm. Followed through with it. And then we were able to see the ROI that comes from it. So again, you're upfront about it. You follow through with it. And then you hold people accountable to that process. And they see that it works and they get that win. And that's what makes them respect you more. And that's what allows the basis for the accumulation of social and political capital. And then again, you've got that stockpiled now. So the next time you make another big organizational decision, people are gonna have more trust and more faith that you are gonna follow through with it. And so, you know, if you subsequently or conversely, if you don't do that, you know, if you do increase price by 25%, but you don't articulate the why behind it, and then the organization is losing revenue as a result of it, and the sales reps are losing commission as a result of it, well, you're in that process, you're depleting your social capital. So the next time that you want to make a big decision that you believe is going to help the organization, people are going to look at you with a wary eye because you didn't follow through on it. Or even worse, you know, maybe we say 25%, but you're willing to allow the sales reps to cut out that 25% in order to be able to close it. That's the accountability part. You fail to hold them accountable to the things that you said that you were going to do. And so now, again, their trust in you is their respect for you, Cody, has eroded.
Right.
And thus you've depleted some of your social political capital.
So one of the things that I know about you that I appreciate too, as far as that allows you to have a high social political capital standing with me, is follow through. It is accountability, as you've said, but it's also knowing where I stand with you, mm-hmm. right? So we have these conversations and I know that you're being true to me whenever we're talking, but whenever we get finished with our conversation and you go have some other sort of business relationship or dealing or conversation or whatever it is, that you're still the same person to me as you are to them,
right?
So there's continuity there. Like I always know exactly where you stand and you are going to present me with some sort of a bit of information relative to say my performance or something that's going on. And you're very direct and very straightforward with mm-hmm. it. And I know exactly where you stand relative to whatever that particular topic is, right? So I believe there's a lot to do with that. Now, time check, we've got 16 minutes down. We've got just a few more to go here. So bring this over to the personal side. And let me just ask you this. How is it different? How is social political capital different on the personal side versus the professional side?
You know, I don't know if it's a whole lot different, Cody. I think just the venue is different. And mm-hmm. you know, a lot on the personal side is going to be based on a lot of like one-on-one human-to-human interactions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the foundation of respect to allow you to build social and political capital, I think, is the same in the personal realm as it is in the professional sphere. You know, I think it's easier. There's more variables in your personal life that can cost you mm-hmm. respect and can cost you social and political capital. So I think it's easier to build it and expend it judiciously and accurately professionally than it is personally. Because again, right. you, especially if your social sphere is large, you know, and there are so many interactions that you can have, and it be it social media or be it whatever it is, that have the ability to be taken out of context and cause, you know, people to lose respect and cause you to lose political capital. And so, you know, took a long-winded way to say that I think there's the variables and the dynamics of the accumulation of social capital on the personal side is mm-hmm. much larger and more intricate than it is in the professional capacity.
Right, which I agree with all that. Now, let me ask you this again as we start to wind this thing down here, because we've talked a lot about what is political social capital in the context of professional personal relationships. But what you've really just kind of talked about right there, which I agree with, is forget about the personal and the professional, underlying relationships, mm-hmm. right? That's really what this is. Yeah. And relationships are between people, ultimately, right? And you can say that companies have partnerships, and they do, but those partnerships are formed by people, right? And so tell me this, Davin, would you agree with this, that we've talked about how you build up social political capital, but whenever you spend it, whenever you are using that, would you not say that it is spent in the form of influence?
No. Oh. Yeah, I think that's actually pretty well stated. It certainly is, because the more respect you have amongst your friends or your social circle, mm-hmm. The more political capital you have, the greater your sphere of influence is going to be. Because your words are impactful, your actions are impactful, and they're lasting mm-hmm. on people. And so I think that's the way that you know if you are accumulating it and expending it correctly, is if when you speak up in a room, and again, this is similar to presence a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting at a dinner table and you're talking about a topic and you use your words, what do people do? Do they roll their eyes? Do they look at their phone? Do they continue their interactions with each other? Or are they quiet and they turn and they focus on you?
Right.
And if they do that, then you're doing a pretty good job of maintaining your influence, expending your social capital correctly, while maintaining a foundation of respect amongst the people that you're interacting with.
Right. And here's the interesting thing as well. I think that if you're spending that social capital in the shape of influence, in many cases, unlike like a bank account, where, you know, if I give you $100, I no longer have that $100 in my bank account, right? Mm-hmm. But if somebody trusts you and they respect you because you follow through, you hold people accountable, they know where you stand. Again, all of that goes into trust and respect. You're able to exchange that for influence, and that is in the context of personal life, that is in the context of professional life. And the interesting thing is, as long as you continue to show up, and as long as you continue to, in their eyes, be trustworthy and be respectable, your account doesn't necessarily go down as far as the influence is concerned.
You're gaining
Would you
interest
agree?
On that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
And again, I think we've talked about this also, is that if you're doing it the right way, then when people are speaking your praise and about how influential you are and about how respectful you are and mm-hmm. respectable you are, then you are allowing others to accumulate social capital on your behalf. So it's basically
right.
you can gain interest on your influence and make your influence stronger and make your sphere bigger if you just interact with people in the appropriate manner.
Right. Beautiful. Well said there. So, hey, we just crossed over the threshold of our 20-minute mark that we hold ourselves accountable to get through the topic here in the updraft. So any final thoughts, any final words as we carry us out of this particular episode?
No, just lead your interactions, your human-to-human interactions, with your eyes and your ears and not your mouth. And, you know, genuinely try to make a connection with the people, and don't fill space with words. And that is how you begin to accumulate respect. That's how you begin to accumulate social capital. And that's how you can expand your sphere of influence. Keep your
right.
mouth shut and your eyes and ears open, and ask questions.
And I would go back and listen to our podcast over where we talked about command and executive presence. Yeah. 'Cause like what you just stated right there, we covered in depth, right? So, Davin, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the words on this and the insight. Audience, thank you very much for joining us here. Appreciate it. Comment on this. Reach out to us. Again, we always want that feedback from you. So whether you like this, you agree with some of the things, you didn't like some things, let us know and ask us questions. That's what we're here for. We're excited about that. We're excited to interact with you guys. So appreciate it. Davin, thank you very much. We'll check you guys later.
Thanks, Cody.